Support for this week's episode comes from the Building People Podcast, sponsored by the Kingdom Church Texarkana. Every week as pastor of TKC, I get to share in the word with our congregation. But by way of technology, I'm also honored to share it with all the world. All summer long, we've been in the series, Even the Best of Us, dealing with hurt, hang-ups, and habits. And you can listen to every message, too. Just visit tkctexarkana.org. Again, that's tkctexarkana.org. And click the podcast link. Or you can find us on iTunes, Google Music, or Podomatic. Again, that's the Building People Podcast, sponsored by the Kingdom Church Texarkana. More hope, less hype, building people. Joining us again today, this is Derek J. Murphy, and I am a pastor, teacher, speaker, writer, worship leader, just an all-around Renaissance man. And our wit Rosé, just a girl from around the way, couldn't be here today, but we have a great show in store for you today. Today is the single episode. Last week, we got a chance to talk about marriage, but today we're going to talk about singles and singleness. And for all of my friends that really know me and those of you that have been following me for a long time, you know I don't have much to add to this conversation. So I have two excellent people to join me today to talk about singleness. And we're just glad to have you both with us. I'm going to first introduce, she calls herself a little bit of drama and a whole lot of queen, Miss Winter Harris. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And Mr. Live Big, Die Empty himself, my good friend, my dear friend, Mark Anthony McCray.
Glad to be here in the Palatial Studios. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Palatial. That's cute. let's get to know each other. Let the people know who you are, Winter. I understand that you. Maybe living in the Northeast, but you are originally a country girl. Could you tell us a little bit about your background?
So, yes, I am. I'm still a country girl, truth be told. I was born and raised in Jonesboro, Arkansas, so I'm an Arkansas Razorback fan. I bleed Razorback red. A transplant into the D.C. area. I've been in D.C., about 12 years. Moved here in 2005. So, my background, I was raised by pastor parents. So I'm a PK and, you know, went to college at the U of A in Fayetteville. And, you know, God has been good. I have no complaints. I'm a mom of four. Growing kids. They're all three. I have my three older ones almost taller than me now. And then my baby is still growing like a weed. So I'll be completely the shortest one in my household soon. Let's see here. I just enjoy life. I host a weekly radio show. I'm in production for a TV show in the DMV area. I'm in doctoral school and I have my MBA in business administration. I run a virtually their consulting firm, and I'm a media personality in the DMV area. So I'm a busy woman.
Yes, you are very busy.
That's too busy, doesn't it?
Well, you know, it's okay to be busy. I had to give my rundown last night at a meeting, and I said something about my spare time, and they were like, "You have spare time after all of that?" But it's good to be busy.
You know, I consider it productive, and I love what I do, in all areas. Supposedly finishing my third book. I've had a lot of people asking, so I'm working on that. We shall see if it makes it before the year is out. But I have a lot going on. I have my second year of my conference, which is coming up in October. So, you know, like I said, I'm just trying to balance. That's the difficulty when you have a full plate, is finding balance. But other than that, I love my life, and I definitely try to, you know, just encourage people just to live your best life. Enjoy, be passionate about what you do, and I am. So that's me in a nutshell.
Well, Mark is my friend, and he's on the right side of that college divide, if I can say it that way. Tell us about your story, sir.
Yeah, you know what? You introduced me as Mr. Live Big, Die Empty, and I will get to what that means in a second. But first and foremost, I have to say that I am a University of Texas Longhorn, all day burnt orange, bleeding orange. Yeah, this is not, I'm told this video is not being recorded, but you all are just hearing the audio. The look I just got right. just told a million stories right there.
Exactly.
But I went to the University of Texas. I got a degree in economics, and I followed that up with an MBA at Texas State. So my hatred for all things Razorbacks comes quite comes to me naturally. And I'm getting that look again. But anyway, so
it's okay.
on to the more important thing. I was introduced as Mr. Live Big, Die Empty because that's really how I see my purpose in this world. I'm a writer, I'm a speaker, I'm a teacher, but most importantly, it's all in that area of helping people live their best and most blessed life. My job, my purpose on this earth, as I see it from the Lord, is to help people live their best and most blessed life. And calling that Live Big, Die Empty just has to say with living bigger, dreaming bigger, having the courage to go for more, to go for what God has really put in your heart. And the dying empty part has to do with no buried talents. No buried talents. If it's in you, then God has an expectation that he's going to see some fruit out of that. So it's kind of like Winter just talked about. She's busy, but it's productive.
That's right.
It's fruitful. So it's not just about busyness. It's not about running around. It's not about making your name great, but it's about getting all out of life that God has put in you. So anyway, that is what Live Big, Die Empty is about. But it's almost football season, and I have to tell you, I'm just as passionate about the Longhorns. And since this is going out on the air and you said it's not scripted, I think I can do this. Winter, I'm throwing this at you right now. I'm willing to make a public bet with you on which team is going to have the better record by the end of the season, my Texas Longhorns or your Arkansas Razorbacks. So you think on that, and we can figure out a friendly wager that the other has to pay up if their team does not best the other team. What do you think?
This is tough because I pride myself on being a smart businesswoman and not to make poor business decisions. I love my Razorbacks, but we are rebuilding, and I'm not so sure what our record is going to be this year. I'm hopeful, of course, and I'm not ye of little faith, but I don't know. I pay attention to the Longhorns. There's no reason for me to, but I got to scope y'all out before I can, consider this bet to make sure I can definitely put my money where my mouth is. Because I like to talk trash, and
that's
I got to make sure
fan.
I can talk trash with freedom
fan.
And liberty.
That's a scared fan. Anyway.
That's a smart fan.
I want to take a moment to tell you about Apple Butter Bakery and Custom Cake Shop in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Both aesthetically pleasing and awesomely delicious, Apple Butter Bakery provides a variety of baked goods, including brownies, pies, and their famous cupcakes and custom cakes. If you can envision it, they can probably make it, and depending on your request, they could even ship it to you. They are a Black family-owned business who operates with excellence, so call them today for a quote at 678-476-0902. Again, that's 678-476-0902, or visit them on the web at applebutterbakery.com. If you live in or ever visit the Atlanta, Georgia area, stop by for a taste at 5370 Stone Mountain Highway, Suite 600 in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Need a little more sweetness in your life? Contact Apple Butter Bakery and tell them Derek sent you. If you have a business, brand, ministry, product, or event that you would like to be promoted on this show, contact us at churchfolksshow@gmail.com. Again, that's churchfolksshow, one word, @gmail.com. We have on-air and digital packages available, and rates are extremely low for this first season, so take advantage of that and contact us today, again, at churchfolksshow@gmail.com for more information. So as we were preparing to come on, we were talking about how, I've been married all of my adult life. In fact, I moved out of my parents' house the month before my wedding. And so I was not ever single as an adult. So I don't really know what it's like. But I have been told that dating in 2017 is probably one of the most challenging things that a person can do. What has been, each of you respectively, what has been your dating experience? And I'm going to put a cap on it, this particular year, 2017. What has been your dating experience this year, if you've had time to date, Winter?
Okay, so for those that follow me on Facebook, they know that I actually started out 2017 engaged. Wow. So for me, I was actually off the market, technically. And then shortly thereafter, that engagement ended, like, towards the end of February. So for me, dating has been definitely interesting, but not necessarily a challenge, because I find that, you know, I'm almost 36, so at my age, I'm a lot more sure of what I want, what I desire, what I need, too, compared to when I was an 18-year-old out there dating, trying to figure it out. The challenge for me has been really, because DC is so transient, is really finding a man that's ready to settle down. And the fruit of the land is quite plentiful for men out in this area. So they kind of want to play the field. Really, between 35 and 40, they're not looking to settle down here. It's just a reality. So, you know, happy that my engagement ended. And I know that sounds crazy to people, but I'm not willing to go through another divorce. So if it's not going to be forever, I'd rather see it fail. So, I'm happy that that ended, but not so much getting back into the dating world, because you basically are back into those same challenges of trying to find someone who's ready for commitment like you are.
Wow. And that's a very, that's a great answer. So much in there. your question, I think, is loaded with a lot more emotion than you may even realize.
Probably.
Because even in Winter's answer, and even in mine, there's a lot of emotion, and there's a lot behind what we give in just, you know, a minute answer. I will say for 2017, I came into the year, as many people who follow and know me know, in a committed relationship as well.
Right.
Not quite to the point of engagement, but very committed, and had been together for a while. So since then, it's been, since you wanted our answer to be about 2017, since then, I've made a mental shift. I've been more aggressive about dating. Mm. Because frankly, I may have fit into the category that Winter described for many years, which was, it wasn't a priority for me. Mm. Marriage is important to me. Being married is important to me. But being wise and judicious and diligent about seeking a wife was not as important to me as I wish it had been earlier, quite frankly, quite honestly. So, so if we have permission to be just really brutally candid and honest,
absolutely,
I've reached a point where being single is probably a net negative in my life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Okay.
So you reach that point. Now, I'm a little older than Winter. I just turned 46.
Okay.
So you reach a point professionally, emotionally, spiritually, where you really do start to feel that lack of a committed relationship, and more importantly, that lack of my wife, not a wife, my wife.
Okay.
And you start to feel that more and more over time. So 2017 has been interesting. I won't say that the pool is shallow, because I think that's disrespectful to the women I have known. I just think I've not yet found the one for me. So no disrespect to them. I'm not going to say all women are clowns, all they all trifling. That's not the case.
And I wouldn't expect that.
But I wouldn't expect a woman who has sense to say all men are trifling either.
Right.
It's more accurate to say you haven't found the match that's going to work for you. You know, there's trifling out there, but trifling is not the majority. I don't think trifling is the majority.
Right. Well, I mean, I wouldn't think so either.
Okay.
I wouldn't think so either. And I mean, I ain't looking. So let me be clear, Angela, I am not looking.
Clear that up.
But Winter, you seem to really aggressively agree with that net negative connotation. How do you feel about your own personal singleness?
It's so funny when he was talking. I completely agree with him. It's not. as bad as people make it seem. And what's the one quote that Tyler Perry always says, I can do bad all by myself? I truly feel that way. I can do bad all by myself. So if it's truly not the person who God has for me, I'm willing to be okay by myself. And it's not so bad. And I also will piggyback with him and agree that a majority of people are good. But I always tell my audience that just because a person is good does not make them good for you. Right. And I think that is the difficulty that many people find when dating, is that they have difficulty finding a person that's good for them. And a lot of that boils down to a lot of people not knowing what is good for them. How can I look for what's good for me if I myself don't even know what's good for me? So that is really going to be difficult. Goodness, there's a lot of people that could be a lot of options that are just good people. But does that work for Winter? Does that work for me? No, I come with a lot. I come with 4 kids. Are you ready to be, you know, a co-parent that with an ex-spouse, you know, that their dad is involved? Are you okay with that? Are you okay with being a step-parent? Are you okay with, you know, the challenges that being a blended family brings? A person that is good for me is going to have to come with a certain level of maturity that a blended family requires. Those are things a lot of people don't consider until after the fact, and then we want what it is. I agree with him. I'm in a season of my life that I'm just like, if it's not good for Winter, then Winter's good with Winter by herself.
and it's really all about vision, like she said, especially, I'm on here for the male perspective. What she said is right. It's about vision. What do you see for your life? What has God shown you for your life? Since this is a faith-based podcast in a lot of ways, what has God shown you? And so you need to find a woman, or if you're a woman, a partner, a man who's going to fit that vision. Right. And I don't know that it's that hard. You got to get with God first. You got to get with him on the vision. Where do you see yourself? Where do you see your life going? And then it becomes a lot more clear who doesn't fit that. So I haven't 100% figured out the who does fit part, but figuring out who doesn't fit is actually pretty easy.
That's always easy.
Based on the vision. Yep. And I will throw this in. I don't know if you're going to get into sex or any of that at all.
Oh, yeah, I'm getting.
But the issue really becomes, it's probably easy for most of us if we leave sex out of the equation. So because once that gets in, it starts clouding your judgment. Right. And now you're in with somebody that you maybe, you know, shouldn't be there with.
Right. Well, I've always taught sex from the perspective, and of course I am, you know, old school Pentecostal. So it's really easy to say, you know, Lord said, wait, but I understand the world that we live in. And so I don't take the perspective of naivete and say that, okay, you should just wait. I always presented the argument that sex will always complicate any relationship.
Yes.
It will always complicate it, whether it be good, whether it be bad, it will complicate a relationship. And if we understand that and take sex that kind of seriously, I think we would probably be a lot better off not introducing sex as easily as a lot of people do. I listen to a lot of podcasts. And a lot of people take sex so lightly, and it's kind of scary that a lot of people are dealing with, not just dealing with cohabitation. We talked about that on the marriage episode. But we're also dealing with friends with benefits, or just a situation, we just doing what we're doing type of thing that, you know, it's scary. I mean, I couldn't even imagine approaching somebody with the proposition of such. And it's just a scary time when people take sex so lightly. I do want to be sensitive here. How has the sex portion or the sex direction of relationships during you guys' singleness, how has that been positive, negative? How has that worked in your singleness?
Well, for me as a woman, it definitely weeds out a lot of the men who only want sex, because as soon as I tell them I'm not having sex, they're like, okay, then, you know, bye. Right. So that part has made it easy. The challenge, though, is for when you actually find someone you're interested in. The challenge for me, I don't have a challenge turning out men I don't like. It's the challenge comes when there's men that I actually like, and you start to develop a connection. And unfortunately, even with Christian men, and I know I'm not alone, and if there's, you know, Christian women that are listening, you will agree, even for Christian men, there's not a whole lot of Christian men that are waiting anymore. You know, even that has become really relaxed. So for a lot of Christian women that are, you know, that we're trying to hold on to our values, we're trying to hold on to our belief system that you wait until marriage to have sex, it's become challenging because even the men that claim to love and serve the same God, they don't hold those same beliefs. So, you know, we become kind of torn in challenge because it's like, man, like I feel like I'm losing out on really good men because of this one thing. But I do believe that if a man really values you, if he honors and respects you, he will honor and respect your beliefs. I've never had a man who really wanted to get to know me and have a chance with me tell me no because you know you're abstaining from sex. I don't want to be with you. If he's willing to get to know me, he will wait. And I think women have a lot more control in that area than we realize. I think we give up too soon because we think we're losing out. But I think we do.
Yeah, I think women hold the power and they hold the key. And I think a lot of women don't realize that until they get married. But anyway.
There's not much to add. I mean, really, I will echo and add to what she said. There's not a lot of Christian anybody who's waiting anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
And so I think
it's true.
you ask for a man's perspective. I mean, if I'm honest, socially, I've run across Christian women who say that they're not engaging, and that has not been the content of the private conversation at all. So I'm just going to have to say, everybody ate an apple. You know,
right.
I don't think anybody's sinless in that regard. I agree that women have a lot of power in it. I have had situations where I've backed out of a relationship because a woman wanted it to be sexual at a level that I wasn't ready,
right?
Or wanted to be only sexual. So, I have to say, I kind of feel like that sword cuts both ways.
Yeah, it does.
I really do. And so, now women do have more power in that than they realize. And she's right. I mean, I'm not going to back down from that either. She's right that a lot of guys, going back to what she said earlier, what Winter said earlier, a lot of guys just not wanting to settle down, not looking to settle down, right, and just going to play and play and play until, like that meme that says, this guy like 80 says, I'm ready to settle down now. You know, that's a lot of us men out there, unfortunately.
Well, I think that If women understand that they hold the power, and men understand that women hold that power, then it seems like even if a man was only interested in that one thing, that he would hold her to a higher regard, regardless.
Absolutely.
You know, it would seem that way, but unfortunately, there are enough women who don't understand their power, so that a man can try it. He can give it a shot, shoot a shot. And, oh, you don't want to play? Well, I know 3-4 other ones that will. In fact, I never stop talking to them. So, you know, I could just move on to the next one. I could just move on to the next one. And that concept of you know, playing the field and being single has no depth to it. Why is it such a prevalence in this generation that people don't want the depth that comes with being in a real relationship? We're not even talking about marriage, but I mean, in a real relationship, getting to know each other for something that is longer term than just, you know, till I leave in the morning.
Well, one reason is that sex is so readily available. Mm. And so historically speaking, one of the reasons to get married is because you wanted to have sex.
Right.
I mean, historically, that's even biblical.
Yeah.
You know, Paul said, you know, if y'all can't handle this temptation, you know, it's better for you to get married. So one of the reasons people don't value it is because marriage, sex is available outside of marriage. The other reason is that the other benefits of marriage are so readily available in ways that they used to not be. So You don't need anybody to come pick you up if your car's on flat when you can just hit an app on Uber and somebody come pick you up. So this whole idea of that Ecclesiastes talks about where it's easier to keep warm, it's easier to comfort one another when you have companionship. We're seeking more of that from sources outside of a marital relationship these days. Ooh. And I don't think that's a good thing.
No, it's not.
We're robbing ourselves, in my opinion. I think our economy reflects it. I don't think our economy was set up to have so many single family households. I think our pocketbooks reflect it. They talk about how single black women have the lowest economic state of anybody in this country. With the most education. And then it's not just about the women, the men, especially when it comes to black men, have worse health outcomes as a direct result of singleness. Studies show that it is better for you to smoke a pack of cigarettes a day than to be in a state of prolonged singleness you're a man. So, anyway, women and men are suffering from it. And I think part of what's going to change it is what you're doing on this podcast, what Winter's doing with her book and with her workshops, teaching people how to be healthy, I think is actually the only fix, because I think right now singleness is killing us. Mm. Anyway,
you got anything to add to that?
You know, he said a mouthful, and I'm like over here, amen, in the front pew. But I don't disagree really, and I think we have to be willing to admit responsibility. I think the failure of the family is a responsibility on both sides. It's not male, not female. I deal with a lot of that on my page. I deal with a lot of that in my radio shows. A lot of people want to point fingers, and it's not male heavy. It's not female heavy. It is on both sides. Coincidentally, I was watching, just got stuck on watching MTV Teen Mom and watching that dynamic. And the woman, the teenager was, upset that her boyfriend didn't want her anymore, but he wanted to be in his child's life. And she forced him to give her the baby and leave the room. And she said, if you don't want to be with me, then you can't be with us. And I think about how that mentality has really, kind of transferred from generation to generation, and the damage that it has done to the black family in particular. If I can just single us out just for a minute, the damage that it has done to the black family, it irritates me to no end. I'm very vocal about it, and I won't stop being vocal about it, because we have to take responsibility as women. No, my marriage actually didn't work out. I was married for 14 years, but I would be an idiot to think that his presence is still not needed in my children's lives. Divorced kids have a higher rate of a lot of things. I don't have all the statistics, but of addiction, of suffering another failed marriage of their own. But that would actually be lowered if we would learn how to work together and co-parent together. So my ex and I understand that, and we work very hard to make sure our co-parenting is cohesive and beneficial. Our parents, our kids know they have both parents in their lives. I don't prohibit him. He doesn't prohibit me. And it just grates my nerves when I see that played out, because it has really done harm. And I don't think, women, especially black women, we have a hard time admitting that we're wrong. And I'm like, it's not always the men. We have to take responsibility as grown women. Just because a man doesn't want you doesn't mean he doesn't want his child. Right. And so I think because we've, kind of perpetuated this cycle of rejection, our kids feel that. And I don't think it's fair, but the family is failing because of that notion, especially the black family has, more specifically taken a huge hit when it comes to single parenthood. And a lot of that comes to the responsibility of the parents, not owning up to their parts, not saying that, I made a poor decision in my, my choice to sleep, with someone that I wasn't married to. Take responsibility for that, but take responsibility for your obligation to your child. They deserve to have both parents. And, unfortunately, we're seeing the ramifications of that. We really are. And I agree that the economy is suffering. No, we were not set up to, be a single parent, household, America. That wasn't the look for America. We were to raise strong families and strong generations. And because the family has taken a hit, we're not seeing that anymore. And I do believe society is suffering because of it.
Do you have the ability to insert a mic drop sound effect?
I'm not that sophisticated.
I mean, that's pretty much the podcast, right?
Right.
We can go home.
Yeah, we can go home, actually. No, but that's true. We don't take responsibility for the decisions we make, and we want to pass the buck. We want to blame other people for our conditions, and that is prevalent in our community. And
absolutely.
Unfortunately, in the church-going community as well, in a place where we're supposed to find some sort of personal responsibility to our God, we tend to drop that ball and blame others. We'll even blame God for our conditions, especially as it relates to singleness. I can't count the number of times I hear people saying, I'm just waiting on God to send me my whatever. Yeah, your Boaz, and you know my good friend DK Hammonds. Our good friend DK Hammonds. He always said Boaz is dead,
he sure is.
And Boaz wasn't for you.
Shout out DK. I'll tag you on this.
And so we don't take personal responsibility for being the person worth finding.
Absolutely.
We are always looking for someone else to be worth finding. And we are not ourselves. We tend to have an inflated view of who we are, our importance to the scheme of the world. And we want someone who is an upgrade, by the way, to reach back and grab us or to engage in our attention, yet not put in the work to better ourselves. How much do you see that played out in your peers, in your friends, in your circles? Are a lot of people having that mindset that I don't have to be as good as what I'm looking for?
Absolutely. It is the number one reason why a lot of women are single. I was just sharing a couple of weeks ago, I was in a discussion, and, you know, I asked ladies, you know, what are you looking for? What type of man are you looking for? And are you what you are seeking? And a lot of women weren't even close to what they were seeking. They wanted a man that made six figures. They wanted a man who was educated. They wanted a man who had a stable job. They wanted a man who had a 401k. But I asked them, do you have a 401k? Well, no, he's a provider. Do you have education? Well, I'm working on it. Maybe I'm trying to get my bachelor's. Do you have a stable job? Well, I want to be an entrepreneur. Okay, you are none of the things that you have outlined that you desire. Why would you be worthy of the man that you seek?
And I'm going to add to that because I am those things she described in a lot of ways. And so I'm not looking for a woman to necessarily have a certain level of income or a certain level of a certain profile, but I am looking for a woman who doesn't have a life that's in total disarray, mm-hmm. and finances that are in disarray.
Mm-hmm.
So you at least want a woman with some financial stability. So yeah, I mean, I agree. I've seen a lot. It's this elevated sense of self-worth mm-hmm. that, and a lot of us have it. I mean, it's a human condition. I don't want to pin it on just women. It's a human.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a human condition. And really it's born out of a poverty mentality. So okay. when you're stuck in an emotionally impoverished situation, then what you're going to be looking for is just things that can assuage your pain, and you're no longer Ooh. Looking at what you can add to a situation, what you bring to a situation.
Right.
And so, and the gospel in there is God actually gives us everything in his word to allow us to not operate out of a poverty
right.
mentality.
Right.
He guarantees us that he's got us taken care of on all sides, not only mentally and physically and financially, but emotionally as well. So
right.
we don't have to operate from that spirit of lack, because I think that's a lot of what you're seeing. When people lack for so long,
mm-hmm.
then they start to only think about, where's my next meal coming from?
Right.
Love is the same way. When you've been lacking for so long, it's who can take this pain away.
Right.
So we don't have to live in that place. I think the gospel does have an answer for it. But anyway, back to your original point, because that is totally a distraction. Yes, I see that. I see where people are not self-aware in terms of what they're bringing or offering. And it's something I've had to check myself on, because you start to feel like, well, what can she do for me? What
right.
can she do for me? And really, it is my job to be a servant. And so it's also, what can I bring to this situation? How can I help her with those kids? Am I able to minister to her hurts and pains? If you're single at our age, you're dealing with people that have a lot of baggage.
Right.
Are you prepared to minister to that baggage? Are you prepared to help them carry some of that?
Right.
And so you have to kind of go into it. Hopefully we go into it knowing that, and knowing that we have to be prepared to serve as well.
But so I have a quick question, actually, for you guys, because you said something, and I find that men are more lenient with their wants and desires in women than women are with men. So like you said, you don't necessarily require that a woman has the same education or, you know, financial income that you do. But for women, we are pretty stickler. When we say we want to marry someone who makes six figures, that's what we mean.
It can't be 99,000. It can't be 99,000.
It goes back to Dr. Willard Harley's book, His Needs, Her Needs, a lot of it. And women and men have different needs. So a woman is going to be looking for that security and stability. I don't begrudge that. Honestly, I don't begrudge it. It's the same reason that women expect men to pay for dates. Because if a guy's paying for a date, what he's really doing on a subconscious level is demonstrating his willingness and ability to protect and provide. So I really don't have a problem with those things. I would only maybe disagree that men are more lenient. We are more lenient when it comes to income, educational, and professional status. We are less lenient when it comes to physical attractiveness.
Attitude.
I was going to say attitude. because a man is going to be driven by whether he feels respected more than anything else. And a woman is going to feel like whether she feels loved and protected.
Yeah, that's true.
So I might be lenient on education. Okay, I don't want to say I, because that sounds too personal. Men might be more lenient on educational income, but I don't think we're more lenient on what's generally attractive. Yeah. What's attractive to us?
I agree.
What's attractive to us, because that's individual.
Right. Yeah. It's, well, I would say that it's individual and collective to a degree. I think, there is the stereotype of what black men like. And that's a collective agreement.
Are you really going there?
Yeah, I'm going there. No holds barred. There is a generalization. There is a stereotype of what black men like, and that is a collective thing that we find attractive. However you want to spin that, and I think that a lot of times what ends up happening is, and I don't know, because again, Angela, I ain't looking, is that.
But you can see.
is that many times we will approach a relationship through the lens of our boys. And yes. So if I got a quote unquote dime piece that my boys would want to holler at, then I'm winning. She doesn't necessarily have to be a good woman. She doesn't have to necessarily have her ducks in a row, as long as she fits the bill. And I understand that's really superficial.
No. It's true, though.
But it's true.
Because I've read this in a couple different books already. Even blind men, their first question to their friends is she attractive?
How does she look?
Does she look?
Yeah.
You know, so you're right.
Yeah, Ray Charles feeling the wrist.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
But, yeah, I think it's really important that we understand that dynamic. Do women, Winter, in your experience, do women approach their relationship sometime through the lens of their girlfriends?
Oh, all the time. And it honestly will kill a lot of relationships too.
Yes.
Unfortunately, we have to be mindful of that, I think, when we're in relationship with people, to keep your business to yourself, you know, keep your relationship business between you and your mate. But when you add in girlfriend's opinion, oh my gosh, you can ruin a whole good thing with the opinions of your girlfriend. So, oh, girl, I think you can do better. Oh, girl, he's not tall enough. Or, oh, girl, he needs to get in the gym. No, yeah, we do. We're guilty.
I have a question for you, Winter. So,
sure.
What you just said is so true, and really it ruins marriages as well.
Yes.
So a lot of times, absolutely, couples are already married, and they I've seen where women have the chorus in their ears telling them everything that's wrong with their husbands and your husband. So here's my question for you, though. Being that our peer groups are so important, how can we reshape them? I mean, how do you control for that? How do you fix that? How do you find a peer group that's going to be supportive of your relationships?
I think you find that not just in marriage, but even prior when you're dating. The Bible says a wise woman builds her house. So do you have wise women around you that build their house? Those are the women you need to associate with. You seek out, there's wisdom in numbers, but not wisdom in foolishness. And sometimes we don't know how to purge our circle.
Yeah.
We don't know how to purge our circle. Sometimes you outgrow friends based on the season you are in your life. It doesn't mean that they're any less of a person, you know, less of a friend, but sometimes you do have to go through kind of that weeding out. Okay, you know what? That season is over for this friendship, but I'm moving into a new phase. A lot of women get married. We still want to have that girlfriend, you know, I'm dating mentality, but you are a wife. So you have a responsibility to guard your marriage. And a lot of times that comes with guarding our mouth and associating with people who also know how to guard their mouth. So I think that is where we first start, by building those boundaries, building those safe havens. I have a woman's voice. If it even comes out that you run your mouth about me to your boys, we are done. Because that doesn't go away just because we're married. That's something you have to practice when we're dating. But I feel the same way. If a man is dating a woman that runs her mouth to her friends, then she needs to be excluded from the running. You know, give her a chance to change. But if she doesn't change, she needs to be out. And I'm just, I'm dead serious. I think it's unwise, it's foolish, yeah, and it can cause a lot of unnecessary strife between you and your significant other. I'm not marrying you and your friends. I'm marrying you. I'm not marrying you and your mama and daddy. I'm marrying you. So I think you have to, you know, create boundaries even with family, because family, even more so than friends, have a tendency to ruin marriages because they feel like they have a say. No, 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 no. Leave and cleave. Yeah. If you don't understand that concept, we cannot be together.
Well, a person has to be mature enough to not depend on that. And too many of us aren't mature enough to do that. And I honestly believe that most of us want relationships not for ourselves, but for the people around us.
But I have one more question for you, Winter. So you talked about establishing healthy boundaries. You talked about some of those girlfriends going to be out there running. They can't run in your circle, all of this other kind of stuff. And you talked about purging relationships. But let me ask you about adding relationships. The Bible talks about how it's the older women that should teach the younger women how to love their husbands, care for their home, love their children, that sort of thing. How do you as a woman, or how do you advise other women to go about finding that older woman, those mentors that can speak wisdom into their lives?
So, you know, what's funny about that, I had the opportunity to be on a relationship panel about 3 months ago, and this young man made mention of his mentorship hierarchy, if you will, that he utilized in his own life. He believed that you should mentor, you should find, you know, three levels of mentorship. Someone that you mentored, that someone that was kind of like a partner that was on the same level as you, and you needed to find someone that was where you were trying to get to. So you would have accountability on all sides, and also giving back what was being poured into you. So I kind of like that whole, you know, full circle thing. And I think for women, you need a stronger woman, because there's so much information out there that we're given that makes us focus on the outside and doesn't give us enough information on how to build up that character, or that Proverbs 31 example that we all like to quote, to build that character on the inside. So I think it's imperative that you have a mentor. I actually enjoy, most of my friends are way older than me. And so when I tell people outside of that, I don't look very old. I look young, but when people talk to me, they're like, how old are you? You're not as young as you look. But a lot of that comes from, I have a great mom who is probably one of the wisest women that I know. I have a lot of great older friends. Most of my friends are 10 to 15 years older than I am, excuse me. So I glean from that wisdom. It helps me grow. I don't feel like I know it all. As much knowledge as I do have, I am an absorber of new knowledge. So I think that's the key. Don't think that you know it all. Be open to correction. Be open to accountability. Be open to people that may know more than you. And I think that's the challenge. We live in a day and age where people feel like they know it all and you can't learn anything new. No, you're hindering yourself. I don't want to be around anyone who feels like they know it all. That means they're not growing. You have to, in order to grow and grow healthy, grow in a healthy direction, you have to be with people that are going to challenge you and hold you accountable and people that you can learn from. So I think it's the main thing that's missing. I think people that are dating probably need dating mentors. If you're, you know, struggling in your singleness, find a mentor. That could be a good thing for you. It might point out some areas where you have some blind spots and you need to grow. Maybe you're single because, you know, you're a lot more cantankerous than you think. You might have a little more attitude than you think.
Lord,
you know
that sound? That's the sound of a can of worms opening.
Oh, Lord. No, but she's hidden close to home, too. Right. So, I mean, you know, at some point, you do have to look in the mirror.
Yeah.
No, let me be real. At some point, I have to look in the mirror.
Right.
And I have to say, okay, what am I doing or not doing that's a hindrance to what I say I really want in my life?
Right.
And so, to her point, sometimes we need to be open to having friends and mentors really speak to that area. Man, oh man.
I think too much we believe that we know what we're doing.
Absolutely.
And if somebody tells you, okay, you're doing that wrong, we want to get defensive. We want to explain, you know, I'm such and such years old. And I know what I want, blah, blah, blah. But a lot of times we don't know what we're doing.
Right.
And we are approaching people the wrong way. We are rubbing people the wrong way on the onset, making a relationship on the back end almost virtually impossible.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even make friends. And I, this is something that I believe. And I think that in our community, we have taught children how to go deep too quick. And this is what I mean. When I was in junior high, if we talked for 15 minutes, you were my girlfriend. You know, or if I invited you to a dance and you said yes, you were my girlfriend. And that was the community's expectation. If y'all took a picture together, y'all go together. And we carry that over into adulthood. I can't count the number of times where the discussion was never had, but a person thinks they're in a committed relationship and they're not. That mm-hmm. because we don't always know what we're doing, and we need people in our lives to say, okay, this is what you should do, this is what you should not do. And I mean, this goes in every respect.
Your life will only go as far as the courageous conversations you're willing to have. And so that's something I had to learn the hard way, and not hard because of any specific incident, just because learning that, like you said, you have to lay out expectations, you have to have that conversation, and also you have to not take it so serious.
Yeah.
You know, not take it so serious. So if I were going to give any advice that I think is actually maybe starting to work from a male's point of view, that is, go out on a date. Guys, ask her out on a date. If y'all like it, do it again.
Right.
If not, don't do it again. And so
it doesn't
have to be that deep. But I will say this. Now, I'm going to get on the brothers for a minute. One thing I've noticed is that men, we are not asking women out anymore. We're asking women to hang or let's just get together.
Yeah.
I firmly believe, and I'm a practitioner, that we need to get a little old-fashioned and say, hey, would you like to get together with me for dinner, for drinks, for whatever it's going to be, whatever it's going to be. And a little, is this an advice podcast?
Well, no, but you can give it.
Okay, so brothers, here's the best advice on how to do that. Make a plan for yourself and then share the plan. Now, what do I mean? You say to her, hey, I'm going to be grabbing drinks after work at such and such, would you like to join me? Simple as that. Not, hey, let's hang, or what do you want to do? I don't know, what do you want to do? A woman wants to see some decisiveness in there. They want to see some direction. So the best play again.
Because she's not going to know where she want to eat.
Now listen, man, I've got to speak up for the ladies. All of us, and I like that. Now, when I'm hungry, I know what I
want to eat. She doesn't want to have to make another decision that day. She wants to, make a plan, invite her to come along with that plan. That's the best way to go after it.
That's good. Is that good, Winter?
That's good.
Yeah. That's really good advice. And if I...
This episode of Church Folks is supported by my latest book, Rewriting Murphy's Law. In a world where bad news is ever present and we're tempted to lean into that negativity, Rewriting Murphy's Law will help you rewrite your own narrative because everything doesn't have to go wrong. In this collection of essays, I take you through six topics, including emotions, questions, and destiny, to help you see God's goodness in your own story. It's an easy read, and I'm sure that it'll bless you. So order your copy today anywhere you buy books online or visit derekjmurphy.com/books. Again, that's DerekJMurphy.com/books. Inspiration, motivation, encouragement, building people.
So we always end every show, you know, this is Church Folks, so we end every show by opening the doors of the church. And I know y'all weren't prepared for this, but I'll go first. It's where we open up the doors of the church for any person, place, thing, or situation that needs to come down and repent. And today, for me, I want to open the doors of the church for all of the people who you do too much. You do way too much on social media. You do way too much in life. You do way too much running your mouth, and then you get mad when people call you on it. That just chaps my hide. You put all your business on social media, then get mad when people have something to say about it. Well, I mean, you put it out there for me. There's a comment box.
Right.
You invited me to make a comment on your situation, and I think, you know, if you really want to vent, find a friend. I mean, a real friend that you can vent to and not just spew it out on social media. That's not what it's really there for, unless that's what you really want. But you're getting on my nerves in the process. And I can't count the number of people I've had to hide because you want to tell your business, but then you don't want people in your business. That's an oxymoron. Operative word, moron.
Me? Can we do a testimony?
Oh, you can. Absolutely.
Testimony service. I'm going to give a shout out to your guest today, Winter okay. Harris, who I did a little research. So I looked at, you first invited me to come on. I said, oh God, I kind of rolled my eyes because you said the name of her book. And you know what? I did a little research and it's not anything what I expected. I looked at some of your Twitter, Ms. Harris. Not anything what I expected. I got on here expecting to be combative. I'm going to fight this woman out here telling women to go get divorced, to go leave them Negro. Oh, I'm sorry. These men. But you know what? In all honesty, through video, through Twitter, everything, my testimony is she's doing a lot of good work. And not anything what I expected. More wisdom than I expected, especially for her relative youth, and I just applaud her. So I don't know if that's a repentance,
yeah,
but
so
it's a testify.
Yeah.
I repent. That's my repentance. I repent for coming in here with an attitude before you called, because I came in here with notes. I don't know if you can see this. I came in here with notes on. Divorce is not supposed to be celebrated. It's supposed to be mourned like a sin. It used to be regulated. Now it's tolerated. Now she on here want to celebrate it. And I was like,
I'll tell you what. He came in here talking about, I can see it on his face. Now she may be winner. I'm about to show her the sum of the day.
Yeah. So my repentance is to your guest because she's doing a lot of really good work. So I just want to celebrate her for that and repent on my behalf.
Awesome.
I accept your repentance.
Glory to God.
But you know what? I want to call people that like to send these chain messages. I want to open the doors of the church to them because enough is enough. Like, I need to be set free and delivered from chain messages. I'm no respect the blocker. So if you a family member, I will block you in Jesus' name. You send me a chain message. I'm over it. It's time out for it. Y'all got to get right, get your life together, and quit sending these chain messages. Some of it is really telling me how nosy you are, because you really wouldn't send it if you wasn't looking. So I want to open the doors of the church for those of you that love to send them chain messages And we all have had enough. For those that are that just don't like them, I'm speaking on y'all's behalf. We tired, boss, and we want to be delivered.
I'm gonna watch the NFL. It's okay. Stop sending me that video. I'm sick of that.
I'm telling you.
Yes.
That's one of my favorite quotes. I'm tired, boss.
Well, thank y'all so much for joining me. We could actually have this conversation. There's some other stuff I wish I could ask, but we just don't have the time. But this is a great conversation that needs to continue. So, Winter, if you would, let us know what's the best way to follow your work, how to see what you do, and get to know you even better.
Absolutely. So they can follow me. Go to my website. It's www.winterharris.org. And you will see all my social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn. Would love to connect with you. You know, tune in. Join me on Facebook. You can follow me there to watch the Winter Harris Show every Monday night at 9:30 Eastern. I actually have been on a hiatus. I will start back next Monday. So I'm excited and I look forward to connecting with you all.
All right. Mark? You can find me at markanthonymcrae.com or livebigdieempty.com. And so just like Ms. Harris said, you can find me through markanthonymcrae.com or livebigdieempty.com. You can find me on LinkedIn. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram, on the gram. My daughter's recently convinced me to join Snapchat. I don't know how to use it, but I'm on there.
My daughter's about to join Snapchat, and I don't want to do it.
So a lot of exciting things coming around the bend for me as well. So just connect. I like to converse with people on the internet, on Facebook. The dialogue is great. It's respectful. And I like to think we're making a difference in people's lives. So join me at markanthonymcrae.com.
Church Folks and Kingdom Culture are the intellectual properties of Derek J. Murphy and Derek J. Murphy Enterprises, and it is produced by Derek J. Murphy and Whitley Watson. The music is provided by Chuck Price. Make sure to visit us on the web at derekjmurphy.com/churchfolksshow. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at Church Folks Show. You can also follow Whit on Facebook as Whit Rose and on Instagram at @from_me_whitlove. You can follow me at I am Derek J. Murphy everywhere but Snapchat, because I don't do that. Make sure to tell a friend about the show and spread our little good news. And while you're at it, go ahead and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher, Podomatic, and give us a 5-star rating. It really helps. So until next week, may the Lord watch between me and thee. Now, before you answer, Winter, here's my wife. Say hello to Winter.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
I hadn't been too. Now she don't hear the podcast, so I hadn't been too bad, right?
No, he's done all right.
I'm sure he's been terrible.
Avoided every landmark.
I'm sure.
She just don't know what she want to eat. That's all.
Whatever.
Let me just reiterate, if you enjoy this show, please contact us at Church Folks Show on Facebook and on Instagram, or you can email us at churchfolksshow@gmail.com. Season 1 has been phenomenal. It's been a really, really great season, and we appreciate all of our guests who have come on. We do plan to do a season 2, but for right now, we got 2 more episodes left, and we want to connect with you, want to know how you're enjoying the show, where you're listening from, and all that good stuff. So please, connect with us at Church Folks Show on Facebook, Instagram, or email us at churchfolksshow@gmail.com. So have a great week, and join us next time for more Church Folks. For our podcast listeners and subscribers, here's a little bit more of our conversation about singleness with Mark Anthony McCrae and Winter Harris. Take a listen.
All right, I got a couple more questions for you, a little bit on the light side. And I'm going to ask Mark first, because he probably knows right off the top of his head. And you can chime in for yours after the fact. Mark, describe your worst date ever.
Oh my God. Oh my God. It's way too close to home and to recent memory. And it requires names. Okay, one name. Are y'all, this is going to be bad. I'm going to say it.
Well, this, okay.
Are
this
you
portion.
Familiar with, there's a comedian, I mean, she's female. Uh-huh. She's on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
And she's an African-American woman who's about 6'1".
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking
about. And very loud, combative, and aggressive.
Right.
I went out with her clone. let's just say her clone one time. And oh my God, the waiter was looking at me every time he came around and just shaking his head. Because he was like, bruh. And I was like, I'm here now. I can't get out. But it was combative, to say the least. Combative.
Oh gosh.
So that's not my type. So I didn't really want to say Leslie Jones, because Leslie Jones may be somebody's type. But that's not my type.
Help us, God. I've had so many bad dates, I'm writing a book about it. But if I had to pick out one experience, so I had met this guy. God, you guys, oh, Lord, I'm telling on myself. Okay, so I actually met this guy when I was finishing up a date with another guy that went left. And so he asked for my number. I gave him my number. It was in some reggae spot in D.C. And so I will say that the lights were dark, but he seemed cool enough. And I said, sure. Gave him my number. We chit-chatted. He immediately asked me out on a date. We go out on a date, but I had a networking event, so I asked him to meet me there. And as soon as he walked in, I knew it was him, but I was not physically attracted to him whatsoever. And I thought, oh, goodness, like, okay, winner, don't be shallow. Just give him a chance. So we ended up having a nice dinner, and he did ask me out again. And so second date rolls around. I was coming from a really nice event, so I was really dressed up. But as soon as the car rolled up, I just knew it was going to be bad. So I get in this car, and the car, like, reeks of weed. No lie. Reeks of weed. And I'm thinking, it's too late. The car is rolling. I can't jump out and roll out of this car. So he's talking, you know, oh, you look so nice. He's dressed like he's going to, like, a baseball game. I look like I'm going to, you know, a party at the White House. So that was already a little awkward. But he was going on and on, I'm going to take you here to this place. And I'm like, what place is it? He wouldn't tell me, and said, what's the name of it? So I got the name. I text my friend. I said, have you heard of this place? This is where we're heading. And she says, why is he taking you there? It's a club. And I said, are you serious? So I asked him, is this a club? He says, yes. And I thought, oh Lord, I'm not going in a club. I don't feel like going to a club. That is not what I signed up for. I thought we were going to dinner. Fast forward, he says, well, are you hungry? I said, no, not really. But if you want to eat, fine. I was done with the date, obviously. We go to the pizza place, and I tell my friend, I said, look here, I don't know what you're doing. Stop what you're doing, but you're going to get me out of this tonight, right now. We're going to stage intervention, but you're going to get me out of this. So she says, okay, give me 5 minutes. So 5 minutes rolls by. She calls me. I answer the phone. We act like she's having an emergency, so I have to go, right? So he says, do you want me to take you? I said, no, I'll call an Uber. And he says, okay, I'll call an Uber for you. So he gets an Uber for me. I head to my friend. I sit in the car, I look at the driver, and he was like, that bad, huh? I said, you have no idea. So anyway, he takes me to my friend, and my friend was like, well, the night is still young, you know, let's still hang out. So we end up going to this place. Guys, I kid you not, 30 minutes into this place, I'm hanging out with my friends, having a good time. My date walks in the front door. And I said, thank you, Jesus. Y'all, I can't make this stuff up. I told my friend, I said, oh my God, that's him. She's like, you're kidding me. I said, no, ma'am. I said, right at 90 degree angle. He makes a beeline because he sees me as soon as he walks in the door. He says, you know what? That's messed up. Why didn't you just tell me you wanted to leave? And I said, you are absolutely right. And I apologize for my cowardness, but this is not going to work out. Wow. Oh. That was my worst. I just felt so bad for ditching them and then getting caught later. So that would definitely go down as one of my worst.
That's bad. That's really bad. If y'all got just a few more minutes, I got one quick question. What one thing would you tell the people who keep trying to set you up?
Stop.
I'm giving a cyber high five.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Let God deliver you from that setting up spirit. No thanks.
To quote a preacher I heard on Sunday, I'm good.
Yes. I'm good.
Amen.
No, that's a tough one because they mean well, but really... honestly, I think it may be easier to set up a woman than it is to set up a guy, because a guy knows what he's attracted to, I think.
You don't
think so? Okay. All right, I'll back down. I will back down from that. I have seen some women worn down, though, by persistent men. No? Do you agree or disagree?
No, absolutely not. If a man is trying to wear me down, he is wearing me down in vain. No vain. That is the one thing. You don't have to chase me down. If I'm interested, I will reciprocate. Amen. But if I'm not reciprocating, Amen. And you find yourself breaking a sweat trying to, you know, track me down, Jesus. I'm not interested.
Ooh, leave me alone. You're helping somebody.
See, you're opening up a can of worms. What about dealing with rejection? Can I just add this in really quick? Dealing with rejection. What are y'all's perspective? Oh, your face. The face you just made. Dealing with rejection. What is your perspective on that?
I think it comes down to maturity. I mean, we can't win it all. I think this is a whole other topic, but briefly, really as a parent, I really feel like we set our kids up with the lack of ability to deal with rejection by giving them all trophies. Losing is a part of life. Yeah. You can't win them all. That's just the reality. But you're still going to be okay if somebody says no. At some point, somebody's going to say yes and mean it. So I think maturity. You deal with rejection as you grow up, as you mature. Nothing's wrong with you because somebody said no. It's just not them. But just wait for the person that is willing to give you a chance, and it's okay. I don't have a problem. Somebody tell me. I mean, I'm not chasing men, but let me tell you, if I'm interested in a man and for whatever reason he doesn't like me back, I'm good. I'm gonna keep living. My Egyptian cotton sheets are gonna feel just as good that night as he did the night before he told me no.
Man. That was a light flex right there.
Yeah. Humble brag. No, there's nothing to add to that. I mean, she made a great point. At our age and maturity levels, choosing is mutual.
Yeah.
And so they got to choose you back. If they don't choose you back, they ain't choosing you back. But man, I love what she said about if they breaking a sweat coming after me, it is in vain. But that goes back to just the old fashioned notion of choosing is mutual. Back in the olden days, like Little House on the Prairie days, a woman would just maybe drop her handkerchief on the ground in front of a guy that she wanted to have pick up. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's nothing wrong with signaling your interest. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with somebody not returning that interest. There's nothing wrong with it. And really, they're just maybe not for you.
Right.
And that's it.
And then you need to pick up on that. Yeah. Okay. So can I get a commitment? Can we do this again next season?
Sure.
Yeah. Let's do this again next season. Because there's so much more that we can talk about. And I really do appreciate your time, and I appreciate your time, Mark, as well. Thank you all for y'all's insight, and I pray that our listeners get a lot out of what we talk about.
Thank you for having us.